1670 WTDY, Sly in the Morning. Last night, the President of the United States addressed the country on combat operations in Iraq.
Good evening. Tonight, I'd like to talk to you about the end of our combat mission in Iraq, the ongoing security challenges we face, and the need to rebuild our nation here at home. I know this historic moment comes at a time of great uncertainty for many Americans. We've now been through nearly a decade of war. We've endured a long and painful recession.
I don't think war should be perpetual. On the live line with us, U.S. Senator Russ Feingold, who is running for re-election. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Sly.
I guess the question I didn't hear many commentators ask last night is, after the many years of war in Iraq and our current engagement in Afghanistan, how's the fight with Al-Qaeda going? Isn't that who we're at war with?
Yeah, we've played in their hands, both in Iraq and Afghanistan. First, by not doing the job that the Afghanistan war was supposed to be about, then getting distracted from it and going to the Iraq situation, which had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda whatsoever, and then somehow managing to let these things drag on forever to the cost of well over $1 trillion of deficit spending for the United States and, of course, the terrible loss of life of American troops. All the while, exactly what Osama bin Laden wanted. His plan is, yes, to drag us into these wars, but his goal is to bankrupt us. If you don't believe me, look at his speech from just before the election in 2004. He said the real goal is to bankrupt America. That's how they beat the Soviet Union and Afghanistan. And so it's not by chance that they targeted those World Trade Centers. They want to bring down our economy, and by spending $1 trillion on things that don't directly relate to the threat, we're playing right into their hands.
People kind of give this short shrift, but this war in Iraq, not paid for. This will be passed on to the children.
$1 trillion almost already. You're not quite, but getting there. And people talk about the debt. You know, the debt didn't happen by some just magic. It happened because of decisions like this that were not in the best interest of the country, our economy, or even our national security.
Right-wing talk show hosts are urging you to apologize for opposing the surge. What's your reaction to that?
I'm looking for two apologies from them. The first one is for joining the war hoop of taking us into this war under false pretenses. That apology would be welcome. The second apology is for mocking the idea of a timeline, which I was the first to propose in the Senate. I said, you can't have a timeline. They'll just tell the enemy when you're leaving. Well, guess what we're doing here? Under Bush and Obama, it's a timeline, and we need the same thing in Afghanistan. So they'll not be getting any apology for a surge, supporting a surge that is $400 billion and over 1,000 American lives, and I don't think it has put us in a better position in terms of our national security. It has certainly cost our country a great deal. So I'll be looking for the apologies coming the other way.
I think it was Tom Hartman, who I very much respect, even though he's on a competing station, mentioned that there's more members of Al-Qaeda now than before we started these wars.
Well, that's exactly what happens. You go into these Islamic countries, and even if you have a legitimate basis, as we did in Afghanistan, did not in Iraq, you stay there for a huge amount of time, it certainly starts feeling like an occupation. And that's when the Al-Qaeda operatives are able to convince Muslims to join their idea of a jihad. And that is, we have greatly strengthened their case in the world by going into Iraq on a basis. And they are vicious people who will exploit this, and they've done it because of our mistakes. We've played into their hands again.
One of your opponents, Ron Johnson, has said that you shouldn't be speaking up on this, that it is not the job of a United States senator to make suggestions on foreign policy regarding wars.
Well, I know he's been struggling to get through the Constitution because he considers it a very difficult document. Somewhere in there, you'll notice that the framers of our country actually wanted a balance between the executive and the Congress. You know, we fought to get rid of the king. And so the idea here is that there is a Senate. The Senate is supposed to debate and consider foreign policy and advise and consent. That's right in the Constitution. You know, advise and consent is part of the Constitution. And that advice is something that we not only give to the president, but we engage the people we work for, our constituents. And so obviously this is part of the job, and the notion that Wisconsin would have a U.S. senator who has specifically said he will never comment publicly once it started, he won't talk about it at home, he won't go to editorial boards, he won't discuss it with constituent at town meetings, he won't go to hearings in Congress, he's just going to tell the president privately what he thinks. That's not our democracy.
I know
I didn't always. And if the people of Wisconsin want that kind of senator, that's a whole different Wisconsin than I know.
I didn't always listen in class. I know that's probably a shock to you, but
really,
I learned that in Mrs. Murphy's class in Hegel Elementary School in fifth grade. Yesterday, Ron Johnson was on the Wisconsin Radio Network, and he made this comment about where our economy should go.
I'd encourage people to go onto YouTube and type in Steve Wynn. He does about a 5-minute piece where he's talking about, he's the fellow that does Wynn Resorts in Las Vegas. He's also creating resorts in Macau, in China, communist China. And his point is the level of uncertainty, the climate for business investment is far more certain in communist China than it is in the U.S. here. I think we have created such a high level of uncertainty in this economy because, quite honestly, because of the agenda that Senator Feingold represents. You know, what did they do? When they first came into office, rather
than... he went on to say that he thinks that evidently what's going on in China is great. Steve Wynn does a 5-minute interview talking about how much money he's going to make in China building a resort there. 52,000 jobs lost when President Clinton unfortunately signed most favored trading status with China. The first decade under George W. Bush, 52,000 jobs in Wisconsin lost. You were one of a handful of senators, a couple right-wing senators and a couple Democratic senators that voted against that. Mr. Johnson's saying that he doesn't like a managed economy where governments get handouts. Then we found out he got handouts. He painted President Obama's visit to Menominee Falls for green jobs as somehow something anti-American. But he supports a country that tells Yahoo and Google that they can't have their customers type in the word democracy. Senator, am I going crazy?
Yes. I mean, this guy says so many things that are just hard to imagine. Of course, they always walk him back and claim they didn't really say him. But this one may take the cake. That a guy who says he's worried about creeping socialism in the United States by talking about a health care bill that didn't even pass. And now he's recommending a managed communist Chinese regime as a better system than ours for the economy. The ultimate in state control. I'm flabbergasted he would make that statement.
We have a huge paper industry in this state. One of the reasons they're struggling, and these aren't jobs getting shipped to China. What China's doing is they're cheating the WTO, which is a flawed agency, obviously, by clear-cutting forests in Indonesia and subsidizing their paper industry. And Wisconsin workers working in state-of-the-art factories could lose their jobs because China's cheating. How's that going to get Wisconsin back on its feet?
Well, it's not. And here's a guy who claims that his campaign's all about jobs, Mr. Johnson. But what he really is talking about is a system, which he's called creative destruction, where trade agreements are passed that play into the hands of the Chinas and the other countries that play this game this way. And so he's not really for Wisconsin jobs. What he's for is jobs wherever the big corporations want to move them. And that's very different. The word jobs has to include Wisconsin jobs. And he didn't even have to say it. He endorsed NAFTA. He endorsed GATT. He endorsed the China deal especially. He went out of his way to do it. So there's no question where he stands. And Wisconsin workers will suffer if his voting record becomes part of the U.S. Senate.
Whenever you criticize him, I notice that some of your critics say, Feingold's scared. As we go through this fall campaign, if Mr. Johnson is your opponent, are you going to take this guy on these things?
Of course. I mean, it's like we love the Green Bay Packers, right? When they go out and play a football game, do they go out there and whistle a happy tune? You go out there and you fight. You fight for what you believe in. I've always been a fighter. I've had many tough campaigns. This guy is so contrary to Wisconsin and Wisconsin values. I mean, I can't even imagine anybody who has less respect for the average working families of this state. He just shows no concern. He mocks unemployment compensation. He's against minimum wage. You know, this is a battle worth fighting, and it's about the people of this state. It's not about me and whether I'm going to be a senator. You know, I'm a lucky guy. I have a good life. But it's about the people that are suffering in the state. And so you bet I'm going to fight hard. And
you've had more money. And you've had more money spent against you than any politician in Wisconsin history.
I believe it will be by the end, based on the patterns we're seeing, more than not only any Wisconsin politician I have overall, but this amount that he's spending will be more than any presidential candidate's ever spent in this state, it appears. So, yeah, this is a blatant attempt to put corporate naming rights on the U.S. Senate seat in Wisconsin. And the people of the state have to decide. Do you just want the multimillionaires who buy their Senate seats, or do you want some variety, like maybe a couple of guys who aren't millionaires? That's one of the things I offer, somebody who kind of understands what it's like to be a little concerned about making ends meet. I'm not poor, but I don't have excess money to spend on all kinds of things like buying a Senate seat.
Senator, thank you for joining us this morning.
You bet.
Appreciate it. Have a good day.